This episode of Market Talk is brought to you by Growmark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Bringing you the ag information you need. This is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
A friendly USDA report for corn and wheat, not so friendly for soybeans. Welcome into Market Talk. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Great to be with you once again. Thanks for joining us, making us part of your day as we have a lot to discuss in the market trade as we wrapped up the week, wrapped up the month, wrapped up the quarter, wrapped up the fiscal year in some cases for some companies. A lot of things in the trade to take a look at after Friday's trading session, and we are going to dive into that coming up here on the show today. Dwayne Bussey of Bolt Marketing going to be joining us coming up here in segment two and three to talk about the markets, recap the USDA numbers, and more. Also, we're going to get to comments with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, coming up here in just a few minutes from our midday commentary. He recapped and gave us analysis of the USDA numbers from Friday. As we saw, the USDA quarterly grain stocks report, it showed lower than expected corn numbers. The wheat number was very friendly, while the soybean number was a bit higher than expected. USDA came in with old crop corn stocks at all positions, totaling 1.38 billion bushels. That was up 12% from September 1st of last year, but below pre-report estimates. Meantime, old crop soybeans stored in all positions came in at 274 million bushels, up 7% from last year, and exceeded the trade estimates. Corn production was revised downward to 41.4 million bushels based on end of marketing year stocks, disappearance data, and farm program administrative data. USDA put production at 15.07 billion bushels with a national average yield of 176.7 for last year's crop. Soybean production was revised higher, up 30.2 million bushels. Total production 4.47 billion bushels with a national average yield of 51.7. A change was due to higher than anticipated harvested acreage. USDA will incorporate the new production estimates into the next WASDE report coming up in October. Now over on the wheat numbers, all wheat production came in at 1.65 billion bushels for 2022, up less than 1% from last year. While acreage declined, overall yield estimates increased by 2.2 bushels per acre to 46.5 bushels per acre. All wheat stored in all positions totaled 1.78 billion bushels, up less than 1% from a year ago, coming in slightly below estimates. So the wheat numbers, the all wheat stored, that was right in line, but that production number was what got the trade moving and feeling very bullish on the wheat side as well. Saw a bit of spread trading come in Friday with corn and wheat moving higher, spreading against soybeans moving lower after the reports came out. Now, this is all the backdrop of all the ongoing issues with Russia, Ukraine, as well as the dollar and the macro picture. We talked to Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, around midday Friday and got his thoughts on the report and the market action.
First of all, stood out as the corn stocks number is at 1.377 billion bushels. That's now the old crop ending stocks number and the beginning stocks for the 22-23 marketing year. That came in well below the trade at 1.512 billion bushels. That was a product of larger use. During the fourth quarter, we used nearly 3 billion bushels, 2.97 billion bushels during the quarter. But USDA also revised last year's crop size down by 41.4 million bushels. Now, ironically, they revised last year's soybean crop upward by 30.2 million bushels. So soybeans came in 30 million bushels above the average trade expectation. And the trade was already expecting an increase in the size of stocks because of the poor finish to the export season. So bullish corn, bearish beans. Now, one more thing we got to cover, and that was a big bullish adjustment to wheat. We saw the wheat stocks come in right at expectations at 1.776 billion bushels, exactly what the trade expected. However, the crop came in much smaller than expected. USDA pegged the all-wheat crop at 1.65 billion bushels, down from the previous estimate from USDA at 1.783. So that's 133 million bushels smaller crop than the trade was expecting. And that was a significant decline in hard red winter wheat, soft red winter wheat, spring wheat, and durum wheat, all seeing big drops, reduction in both acreage as well as yield to get that number. That tightens up the wheat balance sheet quite a bit.
Now, looking at all of those numbers, we throw in all of the geopolitical issues, the risk premium that was being put in the trade with Russia, Ukraine, and that annexation, then the backdrop of the dollar, everything else, end of the month, end of the quarter, end of the fiscal for some folks, have to think that this is going to provide us plenty more fuel to the volatility fire, so to speak, as we head to the weekend, Arlen.
It really does. And we came into this report with a Russia-Ukraine premium in it, worried about what the news headlines might be over the weekend as things escalate there. That kind of helps amplify the move in corn and wheat, but it also makes soybeans look attractive as a spread trade. So we're seeing a lot of trades spreading corn and wheat against soybeans now, with the crop getting off to a good start in Brazil. Soybeans aren't as big of a factor in Ukraine and Russia. They had the bearish report. So we're seeing that intermarket spreading dominate today.
Livestock trade real quick. Hogs got a friendly quarterly hogs and pigs report out Thursday afternoon. Meantime, cattle feeders under pressure with corn moving higher, live cattle down a little bit. Any thoughts in that protein sector?
Well, certainly we did see, like you said, the supportive quarterly hogs and pigs report giving us a little bit of support here, but now feed prices going up for hogs, at least on the corn side. Cattle, though, seeing higher weights, carcass weights are rising along with the big slaughter numbers lately. And that's kind of putting pressure at a time when economic worries are rising. So we're ending the week kind of on a negative note in the beef complex right now, with the economic worries really being dominant after this morning's inflation numbers and with what's happening in Russia and Ukraine.
And again, that is comments and analysis with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, talking to him around midday on Friday after the release of the USDA reports. And always great to get Arlen's thoughts and insight and analysis into what's happening in the market trade. Again, those USDA numbers, bullish for corn and wheat, bearish for soybeans. You throw in a choppy trade day on Wall Street as we closed out the week, the month, the quarter, and in some cases, the fiscal year. You throw in the Russia-Ukraine risks going into the weekend. We saw, as Arlen mentioned, a friendly quarterly hogs and pigs report from yesterday. Cattle prices under modest pressure. Just a lot of things to discuss in this market trade as we move into the weekend and head into the month of October. We're going to talk to Dwayne Bussey of Bolt Marketing coming up here in just a few minutes. Get Dwayne's thoughts and analysis on the market trade that we saw on Friday as we wrapped up the month. We will get to our conversation with Dwayne Bussey of Bolt Marketing coming up right after the break. You're listening to Market Talk. We'll be back with more on the way right after this.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now here on Market Talk, another wild trading day, wrapping up the month, wrapping up the week on Friday. Had the USDA quarterly grain stock small grain summary. We got issues with Russia-Ukraine escalating again. We got the macro picture. There's just a ton of stuff going on in this market trade right now. Here to help us walk through it and try to make sense of it, Dwayne Bussey, Bolt Marketing, is joining us today. Dwayne, always great to catch up with you, buddy. How are you?
Doing real well. Another Friday, end of the month, and another football Friday. So ready for that tonight as well. And youth football tomorrow, our last jamboree. So last week I coached and did six like mini little games. And I must be getting old, Jesse, because I was exhausted after coaching. And I'm just standing there. So I can't imagine what the players do. But they're young and youthful, so they're fine.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like a marathon there last weekend. But, you know, hey, fall football season, I'm down for that. I always am. I love it. You know, it's always a good way for me to hang out on the couch or in the recliner on a Saturday and a Sunday is to watch football on TV.
Absolutely. No, I think I got another weekend of that, which is great. Harvest is a little slow up here. Guys are just starting to poke around in Northeast South Dakota. And we did like 100 acres and ran out of beans that are ready. So it's all right. We'll get things ready and geared up for next week.
Definitely. Well, you know, you mentioned harvest and, you know, we have seasonal harvest pressure a little bit in the markets here the last couple of weeks. And typically this is that time frame that we do, but feels like some of that seasonal tendency being outweighed by all these other factors. Let's talk quarterly grain stock, small grain summary from Friday. USDA coming in with a number on the corn side below the pre-report estimates, a very friendly number for corn, really tightened up those balance sheets. Friendly numbers in wheat, not so friendly in soybeans. Let's start with the corn numbers, though. What are your thoughts after seeing what USDA brought us on Friday?
Yeah, basically, summary is they took away 148 million bushels, basically, from last year. I think it was slightly less on the yield, a little bit less on the acres. So they lowered last year's production. But yeah, the end result is as of September 1st, we had 1.377 billion bushels. And that's 148 million bushels below what they had about a month ago when they had the USDA report. So, you know, hey, Jesse, it was already a tight situation. It just got a little bit tighter. That's the fun thing about this one. I mean, we're all talking about the yields right now and demand moving forward, but we didn't have a whole lot of corn going into this harvest, that's for sure. And that's why you saw the nice spike up in this corn market. But boy, did it struggle with that $7 mark again, when probably rightfully so.
Yeah, that's $7, you know, before we started to take a little bit out of the corn market, it's felt like that $7 mark in corn is just kind of this psychological resistance overhead over top of this market that just didn't want to break through, Dwayne. It's been tough to try and get past that number.
It has been. And I've been bullish. And when I look at these supply and demand numbers and the very tight supplies in the U.S., I get bullish and look at that gap up at 732. And honestly, I'm going to store my corn and I'm going to target a run to that. However, in the short term here, are we running out of corn as we start harvesting? No, of course we're not. And, you know, these higher prices and the screaming higher U.S. dollars since the last time we talked, that will ration demand. So the trade's got that as headwind. And I think it's going to be really tough to trade much above $7 with that headwind, in the least the short term here, you know, another 2 weeks or so.
Let's talk the soybean numbers as well. That was the number that was it wasn't friendly to the trade. I mean, we essentially added to last year's crop, according to USDA. And on the video feed, I'm pulling up the chart that Karen Braun posts on Twitter. She's with Reuters, and I kind of borrowed this from her, but she's very, very good, good follow on Twitter. But just looking at that soy number, Dwayne, man, you know, adding to that soybean ending stocks and adding to that balance sheet, what's this going to do to a soy market that already has maybe felt like it's had some pressure in it here the last couple of sessions?
It has had some pressure lately, you know, the same ideas, a lot of the macro market news, you know, recession talk, China's demand might be lower. And then, yeah, so to add 24 million bushels to the ending stock from last year, this year's carry-in, that's going to hurt this market. And it did today. Hurt it actually really poorly as we go into the close here around that 1364. I mean, man, that's, we haven't seen a close like that in a long time. So we ran some sell stops as we got into the end of the day. Probably overdid it though a little bit, Jesse. I mean, it's harvest and it's fine. I understand it can go down, but you know, we still got a tight ending stock here. And China was actually in the last weekly export sales report was pretty good Thursday morning. So I'm still a long-term bull, but this chart pattern just turned a little bearish in the short term, that's for sure. And, you know, come Monday morning, you know, I'm sure there could be some recession talk and macro selling. So there could be some more selling pressure, but, you know, longer term, I'm going to store our beans here as well and still look for that 1450 to 1550 actually for beans eventually because of how tight supplies are. If Brazil raises a record crop and doesn't have a weather problem, I'm going to be dead wrong. I'm betting somewhere in here, Jesse, this winter, they have a weather problem that'll force us back up.
Well, and we've seen a decent start to planting in Brazil. Argentina's had some issues, though, so we know there's issues down in South America. So right. To your point, I think it's something that definitely bears watching here. Probably be the next real big talking point outside of the macro side and geopolitical mm-hmm. issues here as we move forward through the rest of 2022, Dwayne.
Yeah, I agree. When you know, a lot of yield forecasts coming in, soybeans maybe a little bit higher, corn, I don't think USDA is allowed to lower the corn yield now after today's stocks number. I mean, you know, they'll fudge the numbers to make them work probably if they have to. But my point here is that I think USDA is really close with the yield and our weather season's done. So there isn't really a big headline news for a little while here other than, you know, the slight demand here and there. So I think you're right. I think weather in South America is going to be your next movement or big mover when it comes to our futures market. And Argentina is dry and has been dry this week and trending dry. So not a problem just now, but it's something worth watching. But Brazil has had a great last 2 weeks and a little bit better start to planting than I was hoping they were going to have.
Well, also, Dwayne, wheat on the quarterly grain stocks, small grain summary. The quarterly grain stocks number came in right at the pre-report trade average, 1.776 billion bushels, but it was wheat production that was the big surprise on Friday, Dwayne.
Right, yeah, it's kind of misdeceiving there. You see Karen's numbers, and you're right, Karen does put great stuff on there. I maybe steal from her a little bit too. Thank you, Karen, very much. But yeah, on the production side, 133 million bushels lower than what we were expected. So maybe demand isn't great because the stocks were okay, but with that less production, I mean, they took what, 41 from HRW, 44 from SRW, another 30 million bushels from spring wheat. So all three of the crops were smaller than anticipated. So that's a big deal moving forward. You know, the quarterly stocks, you know, different marketing season for wheat, of course. We just have less of it on hand than we thought. And like you mentioned in the intro to the show here, more Russia, Ukraine headlines. Obviously, Putin's annoyed and upset and, you know, annexed four territories in Ukraine this week. But losing the war in other places, you know, threatening nuclear war, everything else, I don't think we're going to make it to the end of November when they've got that Ukraine export grain corridor opened. I think he's going to shut that early. And I think the market assumes that as well. Really nice trade in the wheat today. We came off the highs, but boy, that chart pattern looks really good and fairly bullish. You know, higher highs than we've had for the last month and a nice way to close the month too.
Yeah, and really overall Friday of the grains, it was a bit of that spreading corn and wheat against beans, just kind of the overall trend with pressure there. But you alluded to Russia, Ukraine, and I think that's something that a lot of traders ahead of the report on Friday, we were putting a little bit of premium in. A lot of traders are seemingly nervous about what those headlines are going to look like here over the weekend. And I think it's an issue that maybe some folks have said, maybe we've taken a little too much premium out here with everything going on in Russia, Ukraine right now.
Boy, you wouldn't believe in these broker offices like ours, how often you hear, I don't think I want to do that before the weekend, or why don't I get out before the weekend? And I understand because man, that's a long time to not have a trade. And you know, you don't know what you're going to open up as Sunday night. So there's a lot of position squaring, especially this Friday, when you got a weekend in front of us, you got the end of the month, end of the quarter for a lot of businesses, the end of their fiscal year as well. So there was some definite position squaring and some spread unwinding, like you mentioned, between corn, soybeans, and wheat.
Well, again, that is Dwayne Bussey of Bolt Marketing joining us here today on Market Talk. We're having a conversation with him. We'll continue with coming up here after the break. A few of the closes in grains: December corn 8 higher, 677.5. March corn up 8, 684. November beans 46 lower, 1364, 3/4. January beans down 45, 1375.5. Bean meal October down 590 a ton, 403.20. Bean oil October down 213 points, 6535. We'll talk about the wheat closes as well as livestock coming up after the break. Back with more Market Talk on the way right after this.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Stay up to date and listen to past episodes online at markettalkag.com. Now, back to Market Talk with Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk here today. Jesse Allen with you in studio. Dwayne Bussey of Bolt Marketing is our guest analyst here on the show. We're going to get back to our conversation with Dwayne coming up here in just a minute. Looking at the closing numbers from Friday, I mentioned corn, beans, bean meal, beet oil before the break. Looking at the wheat markets, December Chicago wheat 25.25 higher, 921.5. March Chicago wheat up 24, 932. May was up 22, 936.75. Kansas City hard red winter wheat 24.75 higher, 991.5. March KC wheat up 21, 985.25. May was up 16.75, 979.5 on Friday. Spring wheat, December 16 higher, 982. March was up 14.75, 985. May spring wheat up 14, 986.25. Oats for December 7.25 higher at 390. And we saw canola up 13.50 in the November contract at 852. Looking over at the cotton market on Friday as well, up 611 points in the October contract, 93.22, with December up 18 points at 85.34. Now in the livestock trade from Friday, live cattle October 85 lower, 143.27. December down 72, 147.05. February live cattle down 70, 150.65. April down 67 at 154.30. Feeder cattle October 315 lower, 174.17. November down 320, 174.62. January feeders down 275 at 175.67. And in lean hogs, October 22 lower, 89.22. December hogs 50 higher, 76.22. February hogs 35 higher, 79.42. April hogs up 52 at 85.30. That's how the markets wrapped up on the day Friday. Quarter beans, if you missed it before the break, corn finished around 7-8 higher in December, March, May contracts, with soybeans down 40 to 46 cents lower in November. 1364.75 was the close in the soybean market on Friday. All right, let's get back to our conversation with Dwayne Bussey of Bolt Marketing joining us here today on the show. Dwayne, let's talk a little bit about the macro picture. Since the last time you and I talked, you mentioned this earlier in the show as well, just the screaming higher U.S. dollar. And on the backdrop of everything, on the backdrop of USDA reports and Ukraine, Russia, et cetera, we can't forget about the macro picture, the dollar. That's a significant headwind. It is going to be a significant headwind for the commodities as a whole here, it feels like, as we move through the rest of the year, Dwayne.
It does, sadly. And I say sadly because, you know, as a producer myself, it's just more fun if the markets are going higher. But that dollar, you know, got up to the 114 level in the index this week. And we've pulled back a little bit, but I don't think anyone's calling for a top in the dollar yet. I may be one that leans a little bit towards this futures market, which would include the dollar, is probably going to put in a top before we know that we're at a top and go the other way. But I can't call it a top yet. But what I'm trying to get at is, you know, these futures markets are called futures for a reason, right? We're already anticipating another 1.5% increase in the interest rates. And so is the U.S. dollar. So You know, there were some experts this week that talked about, you know, another point and a half, and that's maybe all the further we have to go. And then the Fed will maybe just go sideways for a while. If that's true, the futures market is literally already pricing it in. So I'm holding out hope, Jesse, that we're close to a top, but I'm not an expert of the currency. And any of the experts I do read, none of them are calling a top just yet. So that is troublesome for our demand moving forward.
But, you know, thinking to your point, just with that dollar around 112, 113, 114, you know, it's making our commodities that much more expensive. And we think about export sales. You mentioned this earlier as well. Soybean sales were all right, but corn and wheat are just been pretty dismal here the last couple of weeks since we got those numbers back from USDA after their snafu. It feels like, of course, you know, when our commodities are more expensive, people are going elsewhere to try and find, you know, corn, beans, wheat, etc. It just means, you know, that's another picture that we're going to be watching, this export side, and how is this going to look the rest of the year and into the beginning of next year?
Probably not great. If we stay up at these prices, the picture won't look good. No, you're right. I mean, like we talked earlier here, we're transitioning from our weather season, our questionable what's the supply. We know the supply is tight. And I think we know the old crop supply is very tight. We know the new crop, we have a good gauge of what it is. Like I said, I think USDA has nailed it. It's not going to adjust a lot more. So now we're going to watch the demand side of the ledger moving forward. And that's what you do during the winter. A little bit slower trade then, you know, you watch for those export sales flash at 8 a.m. Haven't had many of those lately, but China was, like I said, sliding kind of underneath the rug a little bit and buying some beans from us this last week. The pace is still okay because we sold so much prior before the markets rallied up this high. And of course, you get to these high levels, nobody wants to buy it, but they're still going to have to, I think. You know, you look at China this week, soybean meal prices were actually record high. They're cash soybean meal prices. So they don't have a lot of supply there either. Now, they did buy a whole lot of soybeans from Argentina here recently as they adjusted their peso and allowed their farmers to sell. So that's going to bail China up eventually. But I guess the point I'm trying to make is on dips, I think our market's going to be well supported because those end users, including China, are going to be right there to buy any dip.
Dwayne, we've seen crude oil come down, gas prices coming back a little bit. Natural gas has taken a big drop lately. Any thoughts on the energy market here as we wrap up the month of September?
You know, not an energy expert, but when we're getting in the mid-70s for crude oil, I start to actually kind of wonder if we're not close to a bottom. But that'll also tie back to my thoughts about the U.S. dollar and interest rates. Whenever those two top, I think crude oil is going to be at a bottom. But it's so politically driven, and any announcement can drive this market $3 or $4, obviously. You know, for example, in crude oil, I know Biden yesterday was talking just a little bit about banning crude oil exports out of the U.S. to help us here. Well, of course, that that could drive the market down further, of course, but I don't think that'll happen. So it's very political. But yeah, there's just a part of me that thinks mid-70s might be a low. I'm sure hoping so anyway. If I'm bullish corn at $7, I better not be that bearish crude oil at 75.
Very true. Let's talk livestock, Dwayne. Hogs finding a little bit of support Friday after a fairly friendly quarterly hogs and pigs report. Maybe not as much support as we hope for, but still an okay day in hogs. What's your thoughts with hogs wrapping up the week, especially after those quarterly hogs and pigs numbers?
Rough week is what I think about the hogs. They fell subject to the macro markets. I think there was a lot of fun saying, well, I'm on margin call in the macro markets, so get me out of my hog positions. And somebody probably said, boy, but they're down $3. And I said, I don't care. Get me out no matter what. And that get me out no matter what snowballs into the trade we saw. But you're right. Hog and pig report yesterday down like that 1.4% for total hogs. That's a little friendly yet. We're definitely not building the herd. It's still retracting a little bit. Nobody wants to expand on the herd when corn's $6 or $7, right? So it should stay that way. But cutouts have been down a little bit, cash down. I don't have that much of a problem with the market pulling down. I think it's doing what futures do, where come December, I think we are at these price levels. But boy, I don't think we have to go much lower than this. I think we're finding a nice bottom here as long as the macro markets hold together a little bit. And even if they don't, I wonder if the funds aren't out of what they wanted to get out of anyway this week.
Weekly export sales were all right as well in hogs. Yeah. Weekly export sales were okay in cattle too. As we shift our thoughts to the cattle market, What are you thinking there as we wrap up the month? A little more choppy trade scene, I feel like, in cattle this week.
Yeah, it wasn't a good close in the feeders there, was it? You know, we had that dead cat bounce yesterday, but that's sadly all it was. You need to see, even if you bounce $3, you need to see continued buying the next day. And we saw it like briefly this morning, and it sold off hard here later, as the stock market's selling off this afternoon as well. So, you know, really nasty close there. But, you know, feeders in the 174 area, boy, I think we find really good support, because I don't think the cash market is going to go much lower than that. The guys who feed are going to buy them and aggressively. And the Packers have been aggressively buying them, which lends me to think if Packers are buying calves, then they think the fats are going to be higher later on. You know, cattle on feed report last week didn't show me my bullish number. I was hoping. I'd love to see placements drop eventually. We keep advertising and saying that the herd's smaller and there's less calves coming. The problem is the drought. We don't get any relief in the southern plains or out west. So there's just more cull cows coming to the market, and they go on feed, whatever. So it keeps those placements a little high. At least that's what I think it is. That's what I hope it is. So I think eventually these placement numbers start to drop, and we will get well back above the 150 mark. Cash cattle traded a little softer this week, but I think that can bounce back too as we, believe it or not, get a little closer to the holiday season.
Well, Dwayne, fantastic stuff as always. Any final thoughts for us before we run out of time and let you go?
No, just enjoy the football weekend, I think, and then we'll see the markets come Sunday night.
I think that's a good way to wrap it up. And before we let you go, also, if folks need some advice in these volatile markets, how can they get a hold of you there at Bolt Marketing?
Yeah, they can call us here directly at 605-448-2365, or though we can always check us out online at boltmarketingllc.com.
We always appreciate the time and insight with that. Dwayne Bussey of Bolt Marketing, thanks for joining us. Have a great one. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. You too.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much. Dwayne Bussey there with Bolt Marketing joining us here today on Market Talk. Always great to catch up with Dwayne, get his insight into what's happening in the market trade. And again, closing numbers on the day Friday after the USDA numbers came out. Friendly for corn and wheat, not so friendly for beans. We saw December corn was 8 higher, 677 and a half. March corn was 8 higher, 684. Soybeans, November 46 lower, 1364 and three quarters, with January beans 45 lower, 1375 and a half. Chicago wheat, December 25 and a quarter higher, 921 and a half. March was up 24, 932. We did come well off our highs in corn and wheat on the day. December Chicago wheat hit a high of 945 at three quarters, for instance, on the session. KC wheat, December was 24 and three quarters higher, 991 and a half. Spring wheat, December, 16 higher at 982. All right, coming up, we'll wrap up the show with a look at the latest news headlines. Back with more Market Talk right after this.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk. Thanks again for making us part of your day here today. A busy day wrapping up the trading week, the month, and in some cases the fiscal year for some companies. And we had the USDA reports out on Friday. A lot of worries heading into the weekend with Russia-Ukraine situation, and just a lot of things to take a look at. Dwayne Bussey, Bolt Marketing, joining us there, wrapping up our conversation in the last segment with him. Comments from Arlen Suderman of StoneX earlier in the show. Plenty of things to watch for. The market trade, will be keeping our eyes on it as we start the month of October. Let's take a look at a few news headlines in the world of agriculture as well here on today's show. Earlier this month, the Department of Agriculture released its 2022 farm sector income forecast, which showed a mixed bag for the farm economy. USDA's Economic Research Service predicts producer cash receipts will increase 21% to more than $525 billion nationally. Crop values are expected to increase 9% year over year, while cash receipts from animal production will be up 28% from 2021 numbers. Despite elevated commodity prices, farmers are not expected to report record paychecks, with farm income off by roughly 30%. University of Idaho ag economist Garth Taylor says the drop in income is thanks to a host of domestic and international issues, from drought to input costs to the war in Ukraine and a variety of other challenges.
But despite all those headwinds, farmers were very close to a high on their cash receipts. They can overcome those things with higher prices. But inflation is what's nailing farmers. It did it in the 80s, and it's threatening farms now. And this is that bottom line is something we've really got to watch.
When it comes to eating away at the bottom line, Taylor noted that fertilizer prices are up a projected 52% this year. Fuel is up 42%, and interest payments jumped 40%. Another factor pushing farm income lower, Taylor noted, the reduction, or in many cases, the removal of government payments saw in 2020 and 2021.
We'll be back to that. We're depending upon farmers, their revenues that farmers can generate from cash receipts. That component is going to be largely gone from Idaho, and it's going to be largely gone from the U.S. farmers.
Again, that's University of Idaho ag economist Garth Taylor. Farm economists and congressional lawmakers alike are fearing continued Federal Reserve interest rate hikes that will further damage the economy, even if the fires of inflation are extinguished. The Federal Reserve is committed to continuing raising interest rates till inflation is tamed. Chairman Jerome Powell has said as much, and that has farm economists like American Farm Bureau's Barrett Nelson concerned.
With the basis point adjustment, we really saw some strengthening happening with the U.S. dollar comparatively to other countries. So as the dollar increases in value relative to other countries, that makes our products more expensive for these other countries to purchase. And that could result in things such as a slow in exports of some of our products like meats.
President Biden and his party downplay the chances for a full-blown recession, while Republicans seeing a political advantage ahead of the midterm elections play it up. Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell.
The chairman of the Fed's been quite clear. We're going to have to raise rates. That runs the risk of having a recession. And that'll be the price the American people had to pay.
For spending bills Republicans blame for inflation and Democrats say were needed for COVID, climate change, and health care. But despite the political finger-pointing, Farm Bureau's Nelson says consumers could still suffer.
When we start to see these recessions looming, or when we start to see an economic slowdown, we typically see consumers shift towards, you know, getting a better deal at the grocery store, rather than necessarily purchasing a premium product.
AFB reported this week that skinless Tom turkey breast cost 112% more this September over last, while a dozen grade A large eggs were up by 27%. A new report from CoBank says the recent investment surge in U.S. renewable diesel production capacity is likely to ignite a period of growth and transition for the biofuels industry. Ken Zuckerberg, lead grain and farm supply economist for CoBank, says, quote, the outlook for biofuels is good as the U.S. and other developed countries embrace renewable liquid transportation fuels as a solution to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Renewable diesel offers the most intriguing opportunity in the biofuel space because the growth potential is extraordinary, end quote. Several industry stakeholders are planning to build new soybean crush facilities and refineries during the next 2 years, which would increase U.S. renewable diesel production capacity to 6.5 billion gallons by the year 2030. Soybean oil is the most common feedstock for producing renewable diesel. CoBank says U.S. soybean acreage would need to grow by 17.9 million acres to fill the supply gap created by the additional crush and refinery projects. Pesticide manufacturer Syngenta Crop Protection and Corteva Inc. allegedly paid distributors to block competitors from selling less expensive generic products to farmers, according to a federal complaint filed on Thursday by the Federal Trade Commission and 10 state attorneys general. The complaint filed at the U.S. District Court for the District of Middle North Carolina alleges the two companies run so-called loyalty programs in which distributors only get paid if they limit business with competing manufacturers. The FTC said in a news release, quote, cutting off competition has allowed the defendants to inflate their prices and force American farmers to spend millions of dollars more for their products, end quote. Syngenta and Corteva are two of the largest pesticide manufacturers operating in the United States. Syngenta, based in Switzerland, is a subsidiary of a Chinese state-owned company, while Corteva, headquartered in Indianapolis, is the company formed as part of a merger between DuPont and Dow Chemical Company. The FTC was joined in the complaint by attorneys general in California, Colorado, Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, Minnesota, Nebraska, Oregon, Texas, and Wisconsin. The complaint alleges Syngenta and Corteva take illegal steps to stop generic pesticides from eating into their profits. The loyalty programs include making payments to distributors as long as the distributors keep their purchases of competing generic pesticides beneath a certain threshold. Well, that's all the time we have for Market Talk here today. Again, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate all the insight from Dwayne Bussey of Bolt Marketing, the commentary from Arlen Suderman to begin the show. Again, USDA coming out with quarterly grain stocks numbers, small grain summary on Friday. The numbers a bit lower than expected for corn, a bit higher than expected for soybeans. Wheat numbers were friendly and bullish to the wheat market as well. Going to be interesting to watch this trade as we move into the month of October. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, wishing you a fantastic rest of your day. Thanks for joining us here on Market Talk.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up to date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.